Welcome to QR Calgary and More Than Money, and it's budget week, Rob. Mm-hmm. It came out.
Dominated the headlines.
I think more surprising that there was stuff missing than what was in the budget.
Right.
I think people were expecting either more increases in taxes, either GST or the inclusion rate on capital gains or something. That didn't transpire. So just a bit of a sigh of relief for those who were expecting to pay more taxes may not be doing so.
Yeah, it was just more to the deficit, right? Not on the tax side.
That's right. But there was quite a bit that was announced in this budget. And so we have Jamie Golombek, Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC, to give us more information. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's go through the budget, the key pieces that we should be aware of if you are transitioning to or living in retirement. And we're also going to talk about their adult children and some grandchildren there. So I'm going to throw an extra one in there for you as well. What parts of the budget would be most relevant to individuals in this category?
Look, there's not a lot there, to be honest with you, in terms of tax changes that would be relevant. I mean, the only things I can think of is, of course, if you are high income, very high income, like making over $300,000 a year, we do have the introduction of a new AMT. AMT stands for Alternative Minimum Tax. And we've had an alternative minimum tax for decades now, but the government was concerned that it's not attracting enough tax. What it really is a parallel system. So we have a normal ordinary tax system where you calculate your taxable income, you take deductions and various credits, come up with your regular tax. Then there's actually a parallel system that's working behind the scenes called an alternative minimum tax to make sure that everyone pays at least a minimum amount of tax every single year. And what it does is it adjusts your income for various items and then disallows certain credits and things like that. So the government has announced that starting next year in 2024, for very high income people, and they're saying that really 99% of the people that will be affected make over $300,000 a year. But it's not just people that make like salary income or employment income, right? Self-employment income, business income. It really is if you have tax preferred income or certain deductions. So I'm thinking things like Canadian dividends, where you get the dividend tax credit. I'm thinking things like capital gains, which are only 50% taxable. I'm thinking deductions like flow-through shares, you know, very specific items. And then what you're going to do is recalculate your tax under this new system, and in which case you may owe a bit of minimum tax starting next year. The good news is, though, that you can get it back if your regular tax exceeds minimum tax in any of the future 7 years. So I don't think this is a big deal to talk about. I don't think it affects very few people. You have to be high income, and you have to have a lot of preferred income to be caught by those new rules.
When you look at our people who are in that age category that are transitioning to or living in retirement, many of them have adult children that are going to be first-time home buyers, or they've got grandchildren who are now going to become first-time home buyers. They're concerned about this. They're worried about the how expensive it is to get into a home in this country, in certain parts of this country. There's a program that's come out. Tell us more about the first home savings account.
Yeah, so the FHSA is really excited. I mean, in the budget, the only thing they announced is that finance institutions are able to proceed with the launch of the FHA as soon as April the 1st, which is, of course, this weekend. The truth is that very few, if any, finance institutions will be ready yet. There's been a lot of behind-the-scenes programming that needs to be done in consultation with the CRA. But, you know, in the months ahead, I think most finance institutions will offer the first home savings account, and it really is the best of both worlds. Because what it does is it marries the advantages of the RRSP with the TFSA. You're going to be able to contribute $8,000 a year for up to 5 years. That's $40,000 into the FHSA. This is for a first-time home buyer. Have the money grow tax-free for 15 years. And then within 15 years, take that money out, all the income, all the growth, all the contributions, tax-free, just like a TFSA. So this is a great opportunity for first-time home buyers, which means anyone who hasn't owned a home in the current year and the previous 4 calendar years, but it's also a wonderful opportunity for many of our clients that are parents and grandparents that want to help their own kids and grandkids save up for their first home, because you're able to gift cash to your kids or grandkids once they're 18 years of age. So let's say you gift them $8,000 a year. They can then take that money and contribute to their own FHSA. And the best is that they can actually decide to defer claiming a deduction till a later year. So you might have an 18-year-old that's still in grade 12 that has no income. So you give them $8,000, they put it into their FHSA, and then 10 years down the road, when they're making income, they can choose to claim the $8,000 deduction. And maybe they'll buy a home within that 15-year period and take it all out tax-free. So the system works really well, and I think will be a big part of a gifting strategy going forward for parents and grandparents, uncles and aunts, to be able to provide for kids, nieces and nephews to help them save for that initial down payment.
Jimmy, when you look at the first-time home buyers, you're going to have some skeptics out there saying, hang on, this sounds too good to be true. Can't anybody just put money in this program, even if they are not a first-time home buyer? How will the government know who's offside and who's not offside with a program like this?
Yeah, so again, remember in Canada, we have a self-assessment system. You have to certify at the time of establishing the FHSA and making your contribution that you qualify as a first-time home buyer. So there's a form, you got to fill this out, and assuming that the CRA audits you, you could be in big trouble if you determine that you are not a first-time home buyer. So the rules are pretty strict, and I think the financial institutions will also be asking people to certify that they qualify before opening up such a plan.
Jamie, just on the other side of that, what if you open up, do the program, get $40,000 built into this and never buy a home?
Well, that's no problem, believe it or not. And we actually pointed this out to the government when the consultations were happening last summer. And we said, you realize that this is giving all permanent renters an extra $40,000 of RSP room, which they did acknowledge, and they didn't change it. So there is actually no downside. So you save for $40,000 over 5 years, you grow that to $80,000 or $100,000 at the end of 15 years, or by the time you're 71, whichever comes first, you just take that entire amount, you roll it into your RSP or RIF. You don't have to use up contribution room. You've now just bought yourself additional registered plan room. So I think this is a no-lose scenario that I can think of for anyone that qualifies as a first-time home buyer.
Jimmy, there was conversation about a dental program, universal dental, coming into the country. 2024 is what we're hearing about it. Don't know how much information's out there yet, but we're hearing about this program, about a certain level of income, $90,000 or less, and you qualify for dental. Give us a bit more information from what you understand about the program coming in.
Yeah, so we already had the launch of this program, for younger kids, right, last year, the dental benefit. And we don't have a lot of details on how this new program is going to roll out. But you have to remember, this coverage is really meant for lower or middle income families under $90,000 of income. But it's also meant for anyone who doesn't have the coverage already. So again, for anyone who's an employee, most employees are covered through some type of work basic dental plan. So this is really trying to capture the people that don't have any of this insurance through their work.
All right. Now, we know that tax and tax strategy is important. We're going to keep Jamie on here for after the break. We're going to talk about tax strategy with a couple things. How do you maximize the first home savings plan? Mm-hmm. How do you maybe get benefit of this dental program that, you can kind of adjust your income accordingly? How do you maximize the benefits of this budget and other strategies that you can place for 2023 and beyond? But before we go into that, Rob, many Canadians, as they transition to or live in retirement, are concerned about taxes. That's one of the biggest concerns. They're concerned about inflation. That's one of the biggest mm-hmm. concerns. The other one that they're worried about is running out of money, literally spending all their money because of all the issues that come up, inflation, taxes, and growth in their portfolio. It's been a very volatile 18, 24 months. People are concerned about longevity and how long their money will last for them. We've got a strategy in place. We can talk about that at our upcoming seminar. When is that?
It will be held Tuesday, April 25th, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Now, keep in mind, that seminar is going to help you understand how to protect not only your income, but your lifestyle throughout retirement. So you definitely want to have a chat with us on that. Don't forget, register at morethanmoneyradio.com. Coming up after the break, how to maximize all the ideas on this budget and some different strategies with our tax expert. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.